So, please help me welcome Sieb Campbell.
Thank you so much, Travis, for that introduction, and I appreciate it. Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Seaborn Campbell. I'm going to go by Sieb, and I am a child of the one true living God, Jesus Christ. Everything that is good about me, everything that is positive, is not because of me, it's because of Jesus. And I'm going to speak today about a story about a young man that was lost. A young man that was trying to find his way in this world through everything that the world says that was good, but according to what Christ says, it's not good. So, I am 44 years old, and I grew up in Natchez, Mississippi. And I wanted to just emphasize, as I tell my story, that this story is mainly about the saving grace of Jesus. About how Jesus can transform a man that's all about himself into a man that is selfless. Into a man that seeks to make others' lives better and other than his own. Now, I want to also explain the fact that this is a story about true freedom. The only freedom that you can get as being a man in this world today is through Jesus. The only true freedom. And to wait to experience that is when you totally and utterly surrender everything to Him. It's also a story about victory. Because it says in the scriptures that we are victorious in Christ. It also says that we are more than conquerors in Christ. So, I forgot my Bible, but I'm going to be saying a lot of scriptures from the Bible. And I want to emphasize, gentlemen, the Bible is the word of the Lord. And every word in the Bible is true. You can't dispute it. It's infallible. It's the power of the word of God. And the scripture says it's sharper than any two-edged dagger. It can give you life. It changes you. It transforms you. So as I quote scripture, I am going to be quoting scripture to be true, to be fact. It's not something that I doubt with any doubt at all. So I grew up in Natchez, Mississippi. As a young man, my father was a doctor, and my mother was a doctor's wife. I had a pretty good childhood as a young person. I remember my dad taking me out to the country and teaching me how to hunt and fish. And then as I got older, things did not start to go very well. My dad drank a lot. My mom was an alcoholic. So I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if any of you other had experienced this, but of hearing arguments. Arguments yelling back and forth, and some of those arguments may have gotten violent. But when I was a kid, children are very impressionable, right? You kind of think that, what, is that the way that my mom is supposed to be treated? No, it's not. But that's what I witnessed as being a child. I'm going to break this up. I'm actually going to do a brief introduction, and then I'm going to go into three main themes. The first thing is going to be about prayer. The second thing is going to be about faith. And the third theme is going to be about grace. And how these three themes have had a major impact on my life. And how these three things have changed me for the good. So, as I grew up, I witnessed this and I witnessed that. So we're going to jump ahead to when I was 10 years old. I had two older brothers and an older sister. At this time, we're already moved out of the house. So they were older. They were in college. Or maybe I think my oldest brother had already graduated. And at this time, the disease of my mom had escalated to a head. My mom went insane. Clinically insane. And unfortunately, she took her own life. And while I was there, and my grandmother was there watching her. So I'm a 10-year-old, 11-year-old young man. I hear a gun go off in my home. So, of course, you being a young man, you want to go in and protect your mom, right? Unfortunately, that was not the case. I ran into the bedroom and I found her dead. So, as you can imagine, this is very dramatic to me as being a young man. But thanks to Jesus, He has healed me from that pain and allowed me to experience freedom in it. So, I dealt with that. It was very dramatic. My dad married less than a year later than that to a woman with 5 kids. So it was me and my little sister. All of a sudden, we're abandoned by my mom. And then my dad marries a woman with 5 kids, and then we're abandoned again by him. So I'm living in this house with all these other kids. My dad's not paying us any attention. So me and my sister felt very abandoned. And then about 2.5 to 3 years after that, my dad got sentenced to 2.5 years to the state penitentiary for a crime that he committed. So I have no mom, I have no dad. Thank God my stepmom said, I'm going to raise these kids while you're serving your time, and when you get out, we're going to go ahead and divorce you and leave. So what were we to do? We were sitting in this home being raised by a stepmom. Thank God for her. She did her due diligence to raising us the best that she could, but God was not a part of our family. There was no scripture. There was no Jesus. There was nothing. It was a lot of debauchery and sin. So my dad gets out. My stepmom divorced my dad, and she moved to Texas. So she, in fact, left a couple months before he got out and left me to live alone in this big house by myself. I was in 11th grade, no supervision. My sister had moved to my grandmother's house. So what do you think I did? I had parties every night. Steve's house was the house to go to. Cases of beer in the refrigerator every night. Parties, parties, parties. And even when my dad got home, it still continued. So that's when I picked up the habit of drinking alcohol. So I escalated, graduated high school, I went to college, continued, I joined a fraternity the first year. All they did is teach you how to drink beer and chase women. So I got very good at that. Between, I think I was like 20 to 35, I had 5 DUIs. 5 DUIs. So can you say that I had a drinking problem? Right? I did. But I didn't want to admit it. I lived in Tampa, Florida for a while. I lived in New Orleans for a while. And then, so I come in to the first theme of my story, prayer. Gentlemen, prayer is one of the most powerful things that you can do in this world. It says in James 5:16, that confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Did you hear that? The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So, I was at a crossroads in my life when I was living in New Orleans. I got laid off from a professional job that I had. I had broken off an engagement that I had from the third failed long-term relationship that I had, which I was living in sin and debauchery. And obviously, of course, I'm thankful to this day none of them worked out. But that's why. So I was fired. I had a crossroads. So either I could try to get another job in New Orleans and continue the path that I was on. Sin, drugs, alcohol, prostitution, all of that. I was living for me, myself, and I. Jesus was nowhere to be found. I tried to get sober in New Orleans, but I couldn't because my people, my places, and my things were there. So I had to completely leave. I got another job offer that was better than my previous job. But something inside me the Holy Spirit had urged me to move to Daphne, Alabama. My sister lives in Daphne and my brother lives in Daphne. To start a program of recovery. So that's what I did. Moved in with my sister, being a grown man, took to very amount of humility, and I re-established my relationship with Jesus. See, before I moved, I knew who Jesus was. And I believed that he was a good man, he was a good teacher. And I believed that he was raised to life on the third day. But I was not a follower. I was not committed. I was lukewarm, as it says in the Bible. One foot in and one foot out. And then I moved to Daphne and recommitted my life. So April 15th of 2016, I got baptized and dedicated my life to Jesus and started pursuing him and him. So I started going to AA meetings. I did 120 meetings in 120 days. And I worked through the steps twice. And I gave my life to Jesus. So I experienced, after a year, I went to, they have like a ceremony where you celebrate a year of recovery. And I went to that and we celebrated. And I talked to my sister-in-law after that. And she told me to the side and told me how proud she was for me. Because at that time I was saved and I was undergoing, and I still am undergoing, the sanctification process of becoming more and more like Christ every day. But she had told me, she said, "See, I want you to know that I have been praying for you for the past 20 years to get saved and to get sober." 20 years, gentlemen. That's dedication by a righteous person, right? That's how powerful prayer is. So, gentlemen, if you are praying for someone in your family to be saved or a dramatic miracle, don't give up. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, never stop praying. Never. It also says in James 5:13, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Any of you happy? You should sing praises. So, gentlemen, as you go through life, do not. Your battle should be done on your knees and not standing up. Not on your own self. You should give it to Jesus and let him fight your battles. Second theme of my story is faith. Now, got sober. I was living with my sister, and I moved out into my own apartment and got a job. Everything was going fine. But I kind of moved into an apartment that was kind of really couldn't afford, right? You never heard of being house poor? All your money that you make is going to something. So I was kind of house poor. So everything was good. And until I lost my job. And at this time, I had dedicated my life to Jesus, and I had started tithing for the first time. It's where I was consistently giving 10% of my income to Jesus. In the first place, I didn't hardly have any money to give, but I gave it to him. Because after all, it's not mine in the first place. It's his, gentlemen. Everything that we have is Jesus. And it's by his grace that we have what we have. So I came between a rock and a hard place. Do I tithe or do I pay my rent? I love Jesus and I love God. But I made the decision. It was hard. I made the decision to tithe and I didn't pay my rent. Now, gentlemen, you asked me, you said, was it easy? No, it wasn't. It was a difficult decision. But I trusted. I made that first step to the river and I trusted Jesus to stop that water from flowing. So I did that, and it was like a week after that, I got a letter in the mail. So I opened up the letter, and it was a check for $1,400 out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Can I get an amen? So it was a deposit that I had forgotten I had put on my condo. I lived in New Orleans like 2 years late earlier that I had forgotten about, that the landlord was giving to me. So, gentlemen, it says in Matthew 21:2, then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. It also says in Matthew 17:20, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth. If you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. See, gentlemen, Jesus requires us to have faith. And that's it. Once we have faith and we get out of God's way, He does the rest. But us as being men and living in our flesh, we think that we want to control everything. But it's not until you totally surrender and you give it all to God and you trust. That's when mighty miracles are going to happen in your life. It's about trust and faith. Third theme that I wanted to tell you is about grace. And this story involves me and about God's grace upon me to give me what I have that I don't deserve. Of course, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. So when I moved to Daphne, I was a single young man, and I had told you I was trying to recommit my life to Jesus. Unfortunately, at that time, I was still dating women. So, the devil used this to his advantage. So, of course, I had given up alcohol. I had given up drugs. The Lord, thank God for Jesus, had delivered me from my obsession from alcohol. But I didn't give up dating women. So, you see, I was living one foot in and one foot out. I said, I could do this. I can handle this. The answer to that question is no, I could not. Was I totally surrendering? No. I was still living in my flesh. So, I was dating a woman, and then that didn't work out, so I dated another one. I was living in my flesh. Now, I like to call the devil were sending them temptresses to me, right? Because in no way of my own accord, would I have these women coming out of nowhere trying to chase me. It's all about the devil, and it was the enemy. I was going through a rough time, and I was having, like, one of these women I was breaking up with, and I was having a hard time, so I went to my pastor, and I sought counsel. I said, see, but what are you doing? He said, you can't chase God and chase sin at the same time. God wants all of you, or none of you. So this, he spoke into my life, gentlemen. He told me, he said, see, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your head down, and I want you to run. Run as fast as you can toward your purpose. Run toward your purpose. Run toward your purpose. Your purpose, your purpose, your purpose, your purpose. And I want you to look up. And I want you to look over. And if you see her there, that might be the one. Then after that, I want you to put your head down, put your head down, run after your purpose, your purpose, your purpose, your purpose. Run after your purpose. Seek first His kingdom and righteousness. Seek, seek, seek. And you look up, and you look over, and if she's still there, that's the one the Lord wants you to be with. So I said, okay. So I gave up all communication with any other female besides like my sister-in-law and my sister. Deleted all the dating apps. I stopped dating women. And I just pursued the Lord with all that I had. I read the Bible. I served. I practiced in, you know, prison ministry, homeless ministry, as much as I could. So I got out of myself and I got into serving the Lord. So at that time I was praying for two specific things, because I was ready to accept myself as being single. Because Paul says, if you're single, you can be more useful to serving the Lord. So I said, okay, that's fine. That's what the Lord wants. I'm good with it. But I was still praying for a godly wife, and I was praying for a way to be active in homeless ministry. So I was part of a Facebook group called God's Army. So a lady named Michelle posted on that Facebook group, if you want to be a part of a homeless ministry, all you got to do is show up downtown at 4 o'clock and to serve, right? So I said, I messaged her back and said, okay, what do I do? She said, just show up. So I went a couple times, and I was like, scratching my head. I was like, for one, what's a beautiful woman serving the homeless people downtown Mobile at 4 o'clock on a hot day, you know, she owns her own home, she has a job for a long time, you know, what's wrong with her, right? That's what I was saying. What's wrong with this woman? She must be crazy. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I know that I told you I was just going to seek my purpose for your life, right? But Lord, please impress upon me, if this is the woman that you want me to pursue, please. So I've never heard the Lord's voice audibly, but I had an impression that that's what he said, yes. But let me backtrack to when I was living in the apartment. I would pray and I would cry out to God, and I was praying to God, and I was praying for a godly wife, and I was praying for a godly woman in my life. And then I got an impression from the Lord. He said, see, you're not going to be single. I am going to present to you a godly wife, and I will present her on a silver platter. Just on a silver platter. So he said yes to the prayer that I asked when I wanted to pursue her. And I asked her out. We went out as friends, right? It's an easy way out. She still is giving me a hard time today for that. So I asked her out as friends. And gentlemen, never experienced anything like that before in my life. Never. And he can, Ms. Tony, Tim can testify to that as well. So, it was unlike anything I experienced. The relationship flowed like water. There was no conflict. There was no resistance. It was just like it was, we were supposed to be together. Little did I know, at the time, when I was reading the Bible and doing the Bible devotions, and the Lord was continuing to shape and transform and mold my heart to be like Him, He was doing the same thing with my wife at the same time. So as you know, I was going through, still going through recovery, and I consider myself today to be a recovered alcoholic in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All the glory to God. Amen. He removed her desire to drink at the same time. She's not an alcoholic, but you know, of course, she went out and occasionally partake of a glass of wine or something, stuff like that, the party scene a little bit in Mobile. But he completely removed her desire because he knew that I could not be with a woman to drink. Amen. Amen. It's only Jesus, right? Only Jesus. So we started dating, and gentlemen, I thank God for her, for when you meet a woman that's more in love with Jesus than you, that should be the prerequisite. Your woman should love Jesus more than you. We started dating on May 27th of 2016, and we were married the next February. 7 months courtship, that was it, because we knew that the Lord had shaped her heart for me, and He had shaped my heart for her. Now, gentlemen, James 4:6 says, and He gives grace generously, as Scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gentlemen, it wasn't until I completely surrendered and I humbled myself to Christ before He said, see, I'm going to give you a godly wife. See, I was trying to live one foot in the world and one foot for God. It doesn't work like that. When I totally surrendered and surrendered all of it to Him, that's when He knew that I was ready. Because the Lord entrusted me with His daughter's heart. And that is something that I am confident and I am happy to be today. And I pray every day that I can love her like she deserves to be loved. Humility. It's part of the key, gentlemen, humility. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but whoever I am now, It is all because God poured out His special favor on me. See, gentlemen, who I am today is not me. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of His saving grace, His transformational power to transform me into the man that I am today. But I continually seek Him. Continually, it's a daily surrender as well. And not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by His grace. See, it's not us, gentlemen. It's God working in each and every one of you, through you, into the lives of the people that we interact with. We're always on stage, gentlemen, all of us. People are watching us. As Christian businessmen, leaders in this community, when now is the time we need to stick together and to lean into God with everything that we have, to trust Him, to pray for boldness, to pray for courage, because it says in the Scriptures we are going to be stood apart, that the world is going to hate us. It's not if, the world is. It also says that it's not when or if. It's not if we experience troubles. It's when. Trials and tribulations. But take comfort, gentlemen. Jesus has overcame the world. Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus is our Savior. And in closing, I wanted to emphasize the fact that everything and every good thing and every perfect thing, it's from Christ, Christ Himself. Jim, it says in the Scriptures that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Evidently, through my testimony, I'm evidence that I had sinned and I fell way short of the glory of God. But you know what? In Ephesians 1, it says that we were chosen before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless in Christ. To be holy and blameless. What, me? I'm holy and blameless in Christ? How? Not through us, but through Christ. He presents us as holy and blameless. Remember what I said when the Bible was true? That's what the Bible says. And it's true. Gentlemen, it also says in the Scripture that all the wages of sin are death. But take comfort, Christ. There's freedom in Christ. See, gentlemen, Jesus came to this earth to live on earth as both God and both man for 33 years and to be a sin sacrifice, to be a sacrifice to atone all of us for our sin. See, we don't have to suffer the consequence of our sin, which is death. Jesus has already done that for us. For when we come to the cross and we acknowledge the fact that we are sinners, then that's one of the first steps. And we admit our need for a Savior. Gentlemen, I don't know about you, but me, I need a Savior. Raise your hand if you need a Savior. Amen. And then when we absolutely believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and on the third day He rose to life, defeating death and conquering sin for you, and we confess with our mouth that He is Lord of all, then it says in Scripture that we are saved. And we confirm Him and call upon Him to be our Lord and our Savior. And we follow Him. See, gentlemen, I want to emphasize the fact that when you truly make that decision to accept Jesus into your heart, it says in the Scriptures that you are reborn a new creation. Your old self dies, and you're reborn a new creation in who? Christ. See, old Steve is dead. See, that's not who I am anymore. I am the Son of the one true living God, Jesus Christ. Amen. And everything that I have is because of Him. Amen. I am no longer that person. See, gentlemen, as you go through your life, if you accept Jesus as your Savior and you are living for Him, you can say to yourself, that's not who I am anymore. I am not that person. I am a chosen child of God. Remember that. You are. Each and every one of you, Jesus died. He took the whole shame, the guilt, the pain of the whole entire world from the beginning of the world to the end of time for you. Little you, and He knows every hair on your head. Sometimes it humbles me to keep that in perspective. The perspective that God loves me that much. Yes. He loves you more than you can even fathom. So Jesus, in closing, prayer. Prayer is powerful. That's it. Prayer is powerful. Faith. Faith can move mountains. If faith can give me the faith to make a decision, or either am I going to be homeless or am I going to trust God? See, Jesus didn't have a home. I trusted God, and He came through. And I promise you, He'll do the same for you. And grace. Jesus' grace is more, way more awesome, way better than anything that we can imagine. Because we all get way more than we deserve, gentlemen. We all get way more than we deserve. I just encourage you today that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, come to any of the men in here and we could lead you to Him. But it's only when you make that personal decision to do it yourself. We can plant that seed for you. And I urge you, gentlemen, that if you have a relationship with Jesus now and you're kind of just like hunky-dory, I'm kind of going to church now and you're not living, you're not following, I pray that this talk today rekindled that flame in your heart to be on fire for Jesus again. Because Jesus loves you. And He wants you to bring Him glory through all your actions, your choices, your decisions. And He wants you to do work for the good of His children. Gentlemen, again, my name is Seaborn Campbell. I thank you for allowing me to speak. And I hope that you have a blessed, blessed day.
Well, I can't top that. It sure makes a hot dog taste better, though, doesn't it? No offense, John. Wow. There's so much to say, but let me start with this. I want to tell you a quick story. I've only known Seed for 5 months, but let me tell you how we met. I was meeting with a young man every week named Kenneth, and my son was working in Baldwin County, 18 years old, and he found a used car that he wanted on the lot of Eastern Shore Hyundai, and he told me about it. And I know, Craig, you're in the room. I apologize. We can't afford a Lexus. No, Craig Matthews, Blake. So I should have thought of that before I put that in my note. But anyway, he came to me, and I said, okay, well, I don't know anybody over there, but I'll find out. And I started checking around, and I just happened to meet with Kenneth that next morning, and I said, you know anybody over there? And he goes, oh, my gosh, yeah, Steve Campbell. Call Steve. He'll take care of you. So I ran over there a couple times, met with Steve. My son finally came with me one day and drove and said, yeah, I want it. So while we're doing the paperwork, Steve just, man, he just sat there for 30 minutes while we're waiting, just pouring into my son, just pouring into my 18-year-old son. And my son's just sitting there thinking, well, I don't experience a young guy just taking interest in me like he did. But that's not it. First of all, when you buy a car, you get a mug. So thank you very much. I still have it. Still use it. We walked out. He puts my son in the car. It's his car now. So puts him in the car, and he looks at me, and he said, can I pray for your son? Guys, I know he probably doesn't care about me sharing this, but it means a lot to me. This man proceeded to put his hands on my son, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody walking around, and proceeded to pray for my son 4 or 5 minutes, and my son gets in that car and drove off. You know how that made me feel about sending him off to college driving in that car? I felt pretty good, like there were some angels all around, right? So anyway, that moment I said, that's the kind of man that I want to know. And by the way, that's the kind of boldness I want too. Because that doesn't happen very often. So my point is, I can say a lot about what he just said, but for me, that's a difference maker. That is a man of God who doesn't care what everybody else around is thinking or doing, including his boss. But he's going to pray for that young man right there on the spot. So thank you. Meant a lot to me. He talked about a lot, guys, but if anybody has excuses from trauma from childhood, if anybody has excuses, we all feel victims at a time growing up in a home like that, right? Whether it's father, mom, brothers, sisters, addictions, what have you. He could have stayed in the pit, right? He could have felt sorry for himself, but he started searching to get help. God drew him in. And you said it. God knew your name, Seed Campbell, before the formation of the world. Man, how does that make you feel? That is incredible. I just sat back in the back of the room just thinking, I can't get my mind around that. He chose us. Powerful. And another thing, he referred to James 5:16, the prayers of a righteous man. And I know Kenneth's in here. Well, man, didn't we just study that this morning? James 5:16 came up about 10 times today, and it just continues to come up. So I agree with pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Thank you. The other thing is, he mentioned prayer, faith, and grace. And I said, man, that's awesome. How can I remember that? What's a good way to remember that? And it just hit me in the back table. PFG. Any fishermen in here? Right? PFG, right? That's an easy way to remember that. And by the way, if you're a fisherman, what did Jesus say, right? Matthew 4:19. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So PFG, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to use that. If you're okay with it, I'm going to use that. The last thing, I know we're running out of time, but he talked about loving his wife. And guys, for us that have been in marriages, I know me, 27 years, there's no way I could love my wife like Jesus loves the church. How much does Jesus love the church? There's no way except with Christ. If Christ is at the center of your marriage, he can do mighty things through that relationship, through your children, through your grandkids, and through your life. So I would encourage you, if you don't feel like you have that right now, let us know. Okay, we got a lot of men in here that can sit down with you because that's so, so important. And the last thing is, I always forget, Bobby Crow's not here to remind me, so Bobby would be proud. But on your tables, there are cards. And it's really important. We have a lot of new faces here. I see at least 15 people that haven't been here in a while. But on your tables, cards, in order for me to reach out to you and invite you to events like this or the Marriage Prayer Breakfast, we need your information. So if you'll just take a minute and just fill out the front. And listen, all I need is your name and your email and a phone number if you prefer. That's all I need. But I want you to pay attention to the back. On the back of these cards, a couple simple things. I would like to join a weekly Bible study. I'd like to be part of a men's accountability group. I'd like to mentor another man. I'd like to be mentored by another man. I'd like to meet other business owners and talk about business issues from a biblical perspective. I'd like to be part of a young professional group. We've got four or five young guys in here that are part of our group. And boy, if you want to ask how it's been this past year, they'll tell you. It's been powerful to be not alone and isolated, but to be part of a band of brothers that you can text and encourage and pray for. That's a powerful thing, guys. That's what we're created to be. So anyway, there's a lot of other things on here, too, that we offer. But the most important thing I want to say is, at the end, Steve mentioned that if you just don't feel like you're walking in a daily, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and you just feel like you're just not connecting or you're stagnant for some reason, just put a question mark at the very top. That's all I want. And you know what? And we'll reach out to you. We're not going to sell you anything. We're not going to solicit you. All we're going to do is just meet with you and just talk about it and get you plugged in. Okay? Because the last thing you want to be is isolated. Satan would like nothing better than you to be isolated, especially in this world that we live in right now, because we just went through about 18 months of isolation. And you guys are here, right? Hebrews tells us, do not forsake assembling. Amen. So I appreciate you guys stepping out and coming here today. And I know you were blessed by it, so thank you. Well, we're out of time. Let me close this in prayer. Father God, It's just so humbling, Lord, to come together like this and just talk about you, to have the freedoms like we talked about, to be able to come to a place like Hank Aaron Stadium and just freely come in here and just talk about you and to love on you the way that you love on us, Father. And we just thank you for loving us first. We thank you for choosing us first, Father. And Father, most of all, we just thank you for what Seeb said. We thank you for the grace and the mercy. We certainly do not deserve anything but death, but because of your Son, because of Jesus Christ imputing his righteousness to us from his unspeakable gift at the cross, taking our sins upon himself, you have allowed us to have life. And Father, we just are forever grateful. And Father, I ask you right now to find favor on these men. I just ask you to put a hedge of protection around them, their marriages, their families, their businesses, Father. And we just thank you and rejoice in what you're going to do through these men. And we ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, fellas, that's it. Hey, stick around. Listen, nobody ever drinks coffee, and she always tells me, I make coffee, and there's a whole thing over here. So on the way out, if you have time, grab a cup of coffee and just fellowship for a little bit. Thank you. Have a great day.